U.S. This is the Freedom Message with Stephen Vincent. The next 55 minutes, yours in liberty in support of Ron Paul for President of the United States.
Stephen Vincent, thank you for listening to the Freedom Message on BBSRadio.com. Happy Constitution Day! I feel like I should have some fanfare playing right now. Happy Constitution Day, 220 years of a constitutional republic, a first-time experiment in the history of mankind. Can we keep it alive, or is it already dead? Has it already been killed by the enemies of freedom? It's possible. We do have a man who is trying to revive it, though, a doctor trying to revive the patient. The patient's on the table. The operation, will it be a success? Operation, elect Ron Paul, president, to restore the Constitution. Restore the Constitution. Join the Ron Paul Revolution, 220 years of a constitutional republic, celebrating today. We hope that you are responding to the call to revive our constitutional republic. Right now, we have a government of men and not a government of laws. We have rulers instead of rules. Since we no longer follow the rules of the Constitution, we have rulers who make the rules up for their own benefit as they go along. Today we should be hearing first from some friends in San Diego who will be celebrating the Constitution in their way. And we are also going to be hearing a report from our friend Eric Overholtz in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, reporting from the Values Voter Debate in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which will happen immediately following this show. Now, right now, we are trying to hook up the stream so that you'll be able to actually hear the stream from this stream, just what you're listening to right now, continuing the show immediately following into the debate. So hopefully we'll be able to hook that up. We're working on it, so we'll let you know as things go whether we're going to be able to do that for you. And we have some great news over the weekend. Ron Paul won yet another straw poll victory, this time in Manchester, New Hampshire. This is, I think, his third straw poll win in New Hampshire, and it was a smashing success. The results of the presidential straw poll from the Manchester Republican Committee: Ron Paul, 66%. Fred Thompson, 10%. Rudy Giuliani, 9%. Mike Huckabee, 7%. Mitt Romney, 3%. And so on down. So I know it means nothing. It really, doesn't really mean anything when Ron Paul wins one of these straw polls. It just means that his spammers turned out. See, you know, we're all just spammers who somehow electronically manipulate the vote everywhere we go, even in live straw polls where you have to go and put a paper ballot in the box. Somehow we are electronically manipulating the vote, so it doesn't count. Don't think that this means anything. It doesn't really mean anything at all. It doesn't count. You know, I know that because that's what the news media tells me, and, you know, when there's a news media, they must know, right? So anyway, yet another smashing win for Ron Paul in a straw poll, this time Manchester, New Hampshire. So we're going to go ahead and listen to the report from Eric Overholtz in Florida right now at the debate. This was recorded a little bit earlier, and if we can, let's go ahead and roll that clip from Eric at the Values Voter Debate.
Eric Overholtz calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We're about an hour or so away from the presidential debate, the values voter debate here in Fort Lauderdale, and it's very encouraging. The only, and I repeat, the only candidate that has any kind of support out here at the street level is for Ron Paul. I mean, I see signs everywhere. I see at least a dozen people around here holding up signs, waving placards and that sort of thing. I don't see support, actually, as far as signs for any of the other candidates, which really kind of surprises me. None of them. So it's really quite encouraging out here. Supposedly, Ron Paul is eating dinner right now. He will be actually heading sidewalk towards here in about a half hour. But looking forward to a good debate. Yeah, the level of support here is amazing. This is at the Broward County Center for the Performing Arts, right on the New River.
We've got about 20 Ron Paul supporters out front with signs.
I would say between 15 and 20. But it's kind of uncanny. I mean, I don't see signs for any of the other people, you know, Brownback, Huckabee, you know, or any of the larger candidates or better known candidates that checked out of the debate.
Well, you know, I think all of those candidates are pretty much counting on the brainwashing machine doing their campaigning for them. So,
people instead of people.
Yep. So, we're still a couple of hours away from the debate, or when does that start?
I believe it's supposed to start at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
I've got a head inside the building myself. I'm one of the delegates going to be voting. But it has a lot of grassroots support down here. It's interesting, though. One thing that really ticked me off this morning was reading the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel article. It's a very liberal newspaper, and it was just very dismissive about the whole debate, talking about the so-called waning influence that the true-believing conservatives have with the Republican Party. It talks about how the the big three aren't even attending, and it was interesting the spin they put on it, but. If you came out right here, it certainly doesn't look like that.
Well, I'd certainly say that such thinking is certainly behind the times, because what's currently happening is, in fact, a grassroots renaissance in among the American people in recognition of the legitimacy of the conservative message, and
That's
what's really happening. They seem to be a little bit out of touch with that, and I think that people are going to get a wake up call tonight.
I think so.
Now, you say you're a delegate there, so there's actually a straw poll going on at the same time.
There is a straw poll that is going on. It'll be happening after the debate. As I understand it, they want us to make a vote before the debate and then afterwards, I guess, just to see, just to get a measurement of, how well the candidates do in the debate.
Okay.
See if people's minds are, how solidified they are, or, how pliable they are.
Okay, so there was Eric Overholt reporting from the values voter debate. Now, that was about an hour and a half ago, so I am sure that the Ron Paul presence has grown considerably. And as usual, Ron Paul, the only candidate supported by actual, real, live human beings supporting him, not paid volunteers, actual, real, live human beings that care about their country and their constitution and about the future of this country and the world, actually out there supporting their candidate. So we're hopefully going to get more of a report. Now, Eric had to go into the center, and he may not be able to call out from there, so we may not get another report from him, but he's going to try to give us a report from the inside of the values voter debate, and we'll get the results on the straw poll as soon as he has them. And let's see, we also have our friend Kathy from Los Angeles on the line, And we're going to get a report on the L.A. Support activity for Constitution Day yesterday. Are you there, Kathy?
Yes. I'm right here waiting. Yes, I want to mention when I got home yesterday, I had a call from one of the participants who came with his father. His name is Frank. And they were walking with the sign with Ron Paul, and a police officer came by and saw them and told them to leave. And he said, can I go back and give the sign back to, it was a constitutional sign, excuse me, and it had to, with Ron Paul on it. And they said no. He said no, just go back to your car and leave.
Well, that's surprising.
So that's kind of a break of our freedom of speech, I mean, would you say?
Well, that would seem to be a problem. Yes, we certainly had a couple of cops walk through before when we were, by the way, folks, I was there yesterday at Santa Monica, 3rd Street Promenade, and we certainly had a number of police officers walk by, and they didn't say a dang word to us, and I think that they certainly evaluated the wisdom of trying to shut down a Constitution Day celebration. I don't think that that's certainly a wise thing to do, and I think that's probably just one rogue cop, you know, trying to boss people around. They've certainly been trained to have the attitude that they've got the right to just boss people around and tell them what to do anytime they feel like it, whether it's constitutional or not. So, I think that's just an exception. But we had a great day out there, didn't we, Kathy?
Yeah, we did. It was a beautiful day, and we had a table, and everything was set up. Cars, Slim Jims. We had we walked through and marched through the promenade there, and in fact, a girl who was playing with a band mentioned Ron Paul.
That's right. We were walking past one of the musicians, and she saw our Ron Paul signs, and she sort of ad-libbed a little bit, yeah, Ron Paul, into her song, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Which is really cool. And I say we just got numerous people, coming up to us and asking for bumper stickers and saying, yeah, I've heard about Ron Paul. He sounds really interesting. And it was just all day, nothing but positive people. A few negative people here and there, but what are you going to do? That's going to, you're always going to have a little bit of that. But very surprising.
Yeah,
again, we always see the real support for Ron Paul we encounter when we go out there, don't we, Kathy?
Right, of course. They're always out in numbers and curious. He's looking and they're busy. I know shopping and eating and maybe going to a movie in the mall, but they'll take a minute and glance over and say, and we wish everyone happy Constitution Day.
Absolutely,
so
it's a great day. 220 years of a Republican experiment in constitutional republic, and we're so fortunate to have Dr. Ron Paul to help us give an attempt to continuing it. To not let it die, to not let it go, go into the history books. So we're very, very fortunate to be here where we are today. And I think there's every reason, as Dr. Paul says, to be optimistic, because the young people, remember all the young people we encountered yesterday and how many young people turned out to be with us yesterday? A lot of young people, right, Kathy?
Oh, yes. We had at least 12, 13 support people that were helping out and handing out and with signs. And they were very enthusiastic and just happy to be out there and informing the public about Ron Paul.
Yeah, it was a really great day. So, thanks a lot for calling in. And
thank you. And this is the first first time people have heard Happy Constitution Day.
Yeah, right. Ron Paul and his supporters. Who else would do it? Nobody else. Right?
Right.
We have to do that. Everybody, wherever you go today, you wish them a happy Constitution Day. Isn't that right, Kathy?
Right, of course.
All right.
And there
were
two people out there
to you,
wanting to hug people, and so it felt good to be out there yesterday.
It sure did. Happy Constitution Day. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, too. Bye.
Okay. So we've got an announcement from bbsradio.com. They seem like they've hooked up that stream for us, so we should be able to hear the values voter debate immediately following this show. And I'm going to try, if I can, to stay on the line during the debate and maybe give you a little color commentary on that. You know, as it goes, I'll just throw my two cents in whenever there seems to be a moment or an opportunity to do that. So we're going to go ahead and give that a try as well. It's a little bit of an experiment, but we'll see if it works, okay? So hang with us for that. And let's see. What else do we have for you here? Well, Ron Paul has been making a West Coast tour, and it has been a smashing success. Now, I'm not just saying, it's something you'll learn about me. I don't just say things to, you know, because I'm a Ron Paul supporter, I'm going to spin everything in a positive way. If something goes badly, you know what? I'll admit it. It went badly. We didn't do a good job. Something went wrong. It's not good. You know, I mean, but yeah, I'm honest. I mean, I don't believe in being falsely positive. You know, if something's not right, hey, you're better off admitting that it's not right. It's not on target. It needs to be fixed, like Ron Paul. You know, he said in the debate a couple weeks ago with Gravel, hey, if it's broken, let's fix it. If it's not right, we shouldn't continue with a policy that's wrong. We have to fix it. So, you know, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. But I'll have to tell you, this West Coast tour has been a smashing success, both in the turnout at every single rally, huge crowds of 1,000 and more people, and fundraising in every city he's been into, raised more than the goal of $100,000, surpassing the goal in each and every city. And the same thing, now this is surprising to me, Salt Lake City, Utah, he is doing well. Utah, Romneyville, okay? This is Mormon Central, okay? This is supposed to be where Romney is, you know, king, okay? He did very well in Salt Lake City. So we've actually got a clip from KUTV2 in Salt Lake City, which was a very, very positive. So let's go ahead and roll that KUTV2 Salt Lake City clip.
The supporters call it the Ron Paul Revolution. You may not have heard of presidential candidate Ron Paul, but you will if his core energy-infused backers have anything to say about it. Paul's campaign, heavy on devotion and adrenaline, touched down in Salt Lake City. A rock star welcome for the MD, longtime Texas congressman, and now presidential candidate.
But I heard there was a revolution going on, and I am so thankful that you invited me to participate in it.
Mitt Romney,
that understands
Rudy Giuliani,
assumption that this
John McCain,
I'll be honest,
Barack Obama,
right now,
have all been
like
here. But the Ron Paul crowd may be the loudest yet. And the most unorthodox.
And we're here supporting Ron Paul because he's a true fiscal conservative. I have saved up fake credit cards for a year and stuck them on a jacket that I bought at the DI, and I represent Uncle Sam covered in debt.
There's a very great need for a message that is not being heard by the Republican Party.
What Ron Paul wants is limited government, a balanced budget, no IRS, no Department of Education, adherence to the Constitution, an end to the Iraq War.
If we need to go to war, it should be declared by the Congress. We should fight it and win it and come home, but not have perpetual war.
In the presidential race, he's nowhere near the top tier. But don't tell that to the Ron Paul revolutionaries. Paul's supporters made some noise today. He was against the Iraq War at the beginning and now says the American people no longer support it. He seems alone among Republicans in calling for an immediate end of the war, calling it a mistake to go and a mistake to stay. It was a raucous get-together, huh?
Get rid of the IRS.
Get rid of the IRS. He has some rather extreme views,
yeah.
But his supporters seem to eat it up.
All right. Well, hey, did you hear about the two masks?
So all in all, not a bad report, especially considering it's Salt Lake City, where Romney is supposed to be, you know, the ultimate king there. So all in all, not a bad report, and just reflective of how positive this West Coast tour has been in every respect. Very encouraging. I think our campaign is catching fire. I have been negligent in my duties. I have neglected to tell you the call-in number because I really love taking your calls and discussing Ron Paul with you. Anything you want to ask, anything you want to talk about, I'm more than happy. It doesn't matter if you agree. It's fine if you disagree. If you don't think Ron Paul is the candidate for you, I want to know about it. It's fine to discuss that. You'll get all my respect. No problem. 877-270-8714. 877-270-8714. Again, 877-270-8714. And we are now going to go to a meetup organizer in San Diego. His name is Rich, and they are hosting a Constitution Day celebration tonight. And he's on the line. Are you there, Rich?
Yes, I am. And
hey, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
Good. So why don't you tell us what's going on there in San Diego and what your plans are for this evening.
Sure. Tonight, San Diego at the Horton Plaza downtown area at 6 p.m., the meetup groups are sponsoring a Constitutional Day Ron Paul rally. So we invite every freedom-loving and constitutional-loving person out there to come on down and join us.
Awesome, awesome. And so you're going to have some Constitution-themed signs and some literature to pass out?
Oh, definitely. We encourage everybody to bring all the flyers and cards and T-shirts and signs that they have. But if you don't have any, we have hundreds of Ron Paul signs and constitutional information to pass out to people while we're down there.
Great, great. So there should be large crowds of people going through that area at that time. Then everyone's out for dinner and after work activities.
Yeah, actually, there's a Padre game going on tonight, so people will be driving in, parking on the street, and that might be an issue for people that come on down, the parking issue, but there is paid parking at the Horton Plaza parking structure, but there'll be tons of people coming down to, like you said, after-work activities and to visit the Padre game, and we hope to head everybody down there.
Oh, great, great. Well, good job. And I'm looking forward to getting a report on that. Maybe we'll connect by telephone. This, of course, will be after the show, and I can get a live report from you guys on how it's going.
That would be great.
Good.
Looking forward to it.
Anything you want to add?
Well, let's see. We expect to have close to 300 people at this event, and hopefully my expectations aren't too high, but I look forward to it.
That's great. 300 people. That would be totally awesome. I hope you're going to shoot some video.
I'll try to get that. And I can download that for you or put it on my FTP site for you.
Absolutely. I'd love to see that. You've got to YouTube that. You know. So how many people are in your San Diego meetup group? You got a big one, I believe.
Yeah, we actually have three meetup groups in San Diego. And we have the East County meetup group, we have the San Diego, and the North County. And each meetup group, San Diego is the largest. I believe they have over 200 people. And all the other ones have about 100 or so people.
Wow, so altogether it's around 500 people or so.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow, and you expect 300 to turn out? That's awesome. I really can't wait to hear this. And literally, you can't wait to hear it. You know, we had a good chant yesterday. You guys can rip this off if you want to. Restore the Constitution, join the Ron Paul Revolution.
Restore the Constitution.
Join the
Ron
Paul Revolution. Yeah, you can use
there
that if you like.
So, thank you. We probably will.
Yeah, you know, restore, save, you know, support, any of those would all work. I like restore myself because it reminds us that we've pretty much lost it at this point. So, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you later.
Hey, thank you, and thank you for your radio show. You know, shows like yours are really making a difference. And, you know, we're beating the mainstream media on the Internet, and eventually we'll get Congressman Ron Paul, known as President Ron Paul, in 2008.
Oh, absolutely. It's just happening, and we do have a shot at it. You know,
definitely.
Don't let the mainstream media, or I should actually call them the old media, don't let them tell you that, he doesn't have a chance. It just simply is not true. Now, I'm not saying it's a slam dunk. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk. But there is a chance, and it's not a small chance, and it's because of me and you and all of our good listeners and the people that are actually doing something to make this happen. It really is happening.
I agree.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your call, and I'll talk
Thank
to you later.
Thank you. I look forward to your call tonight.
Right on.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay. So that was Rich from the San Diego Meetup Group, and wow, 300 people. That's exciting. I can't wait to hear that, and we'll certainly bring that to you, that excitement to you. So, again, the number to call into the show is 877-270-8714. We would love to hear from you, 877-270-8714. Oh, a reminder, tomorrow there will be a national teleconference for two events. The All-America Walk for the Ron Paul Freedom Message, the All-America Walk for the Ron Paul Freedom Message, which will be October 13th, and we're having a planning teleconference for that tomorrow night. Also a planning teleconference for the National Federation of Women's Republican Women's Convention, which is in Palm Springs on the 29th and 30th of September, coming up soon. So for both of those events, we want to have a maximum presence. We want as many people involved across the country as possible. Both of these are national events, so the walk, you can have a walk. We're all going to walk simultaneously somewhere in all 50 states on October 13th, and this will be our second event of this nature, and we need every state involved. Very important. A massive national presence of Ron Paul supporters on October 13th in support of the Freedom Message. And then also in the Republican National Women's Convention, we want every Ron Paul woman out there to get down to Palm Springs, beautiful place to be in late September. Get down to Palm Springs and support the Ron Paul message with the Republican women there. The Republican women there are known as the worker bees. They are people that influence their party and the activity of the party base. So if you can influence them and show them with your presence that, hey, wow, something's really happening with this Ron Paul movement. Look at all these young women that are coming into the party now, inspired by the true conservatism of Ron Paul. If we can show them that we are for real and that there is something really happening, that can make a huge difference. So please, if you're a Ron Paul woman, be on this conference call tomorrow night. And let's see, the time is going to be in Pacific time, 5 p.m. for the All America Walk teleconference and 6 p.m. Pacific time for the Republican Women's Conference. Now I'm going to give you the number. Grab a pen. The number is, I'll give it three times, 712-432-2600, 712-432-2600, 712-432-2600, and the code, you need the access code, is 26447, 26447, 26447. If you missed that, go to my new website. Did I forget to mention that? Yes. Well, it's not a new website, but it's a new web domain. I changed my web domain, and I will have a new website very soon. It's almost done. And the new domain is ronpaulfreedommessage.com, ronpaulfreedommessage.com. So whenever you need to know anything about what I tell you about on the show and you didn't catch it or you didn't write it down or whatever, just go to the website. Chances are pretty good it'll be posted there. If you look off to the right-hand side of the page, I put all the current events and stuff up on the right-hand side. So ronpaulfreedommessage.com. All right, so where are we at now? I want to tell you about fundraising. Okay, I mentioned that Ron Paul has been doing exceptionally well in this West Coast campaign tour, but we need to continue to donate as much as we can to the campaign. Why? Well, it's going to come in handy when we need the cash to buy some media time and things like that, and to pay for the staff that we need to really get to kick things into full gear. But the end of the quarter, I think, is about 10 days away, or maybe less. I'm sorry I don't have the exact date, but it's coming up real soon. If anybody knows that, call into the show. Let me know what the exact date is. But we want to have max contributions in the coffers by the end of that quarter, so that when the quarter results are reported, we can really blow them away with a big number. And I think that's very important that we have a nice hot number to put out there and say, hey, look, we are for real. A real good number, a couple of numbers that I heard recently that are very impressive. The average contribution to the Ron Paul campaign is $40. Now, he's third in campaign fundraising in the Republican field with an average $40 donation. That means a lot of people are giving a little money. And that's great. That means that you know, it's the average person that's backing this campaign. You know, Ron's not getting his money from the big corporations. I mean, he's getting it. A lot of little contributions from a lot of big people like you and me and Eric Overholtz and Rich and Kathy and all the people that listen to the show and all the people that participate in the meetups and all the people that are active in the Ron Paul movement. I mean, this is something very impressive. Now, 50%, I got this number, 50% of contributions from retired military, 50% of contributions from retired military have gone to Ron Paul. Okay, tells you something. And over 50% of contributions from active current military have also gone to Ron Paul. Okay, so this tells us something, that something's going on, okay? Something's happening. These are real numbers, and it means something. The number I don't believe, the number I think is a bunch of hooey, is the 2% polling number. Don't get me started on it. Someday I'm going to dissect that for you. One of these days I'm going to dissect why that 2% is such a lie. But it just does not ring true. Does not ring true. Is absolutely impossible that Ron Paul has 2% of voter support. So let's see. We're going to also listen to a clip right now from Richard Viguerie. Now, he is a very well-known conservative activist, interesting individual, and I've sort of been, you know, wondering when are we going to hear Richard Viguerie say something about Ron Paul. I follow the guy that closely, but, you know, I've checked out his website, I looked through his writings, and I said, this guy hasn't had a thing to say about Ron Paul. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe, you know, maybe he's checking him out and he hasn't made his decision yet, or maybe, who knows, but he hadn't said anything negative that I could find. And apparently, very recently, over the weekend, he had something very positive to say about Ron Paul. So let's go ahead and listen to Richard Viguerie on Ron Paul.
Sir, what do you make of the current 2008 field of candidates for the GOP nomination?
Very disappointing. There are different levels, the top-tier level of McCain, Giuliani, and Romney, in my opinion, should not be supported by any conservative at this point in time. They do not deserve conservative support. They haven't walked with conservatives. Conservatives are not around them now or in the past, and they haven't been outspokenly critical in any area that I can think of as this administration and this Republican Congress that we just saw finished here in November has governed from the left. And so because of the silence of these top three candidates, as the Republicans govern from the left on spending, on many other issues, we would expect that they would not disagree with their policies if they became president. Most of the second-tier candidates are in the same category. They haven't been critical of the Republicans as they govern from the left. Conservatives have not been around these people. So I find this, with few exceptions, I find most of these presidential candidates very disappointing.
So what do you make of the fact that Rudy Giuliani seems to be enjoying fairly strong support, at least in the polls at this very early date, among conservatives and Republicans?
I think that's because the conservatives do not understand his views on the role of government in our life, which is a big government program and policies, I believe. I believe he would govern from the left on social issues, on the Second Amendment. So I think that as his views become better known, same with McCain and Romney, conservatives are not going to be supportive of any of the top three. And most of the second-tier candidates, in my opinion, don't deserve conservative support either. And the base of the Republican Party is the conservative movement, the conservative cause. And if the conservatives are not on board in an excited, enthusiastic way on behalf of the Republican nominee for president in 2008, it's impossible for that Republican to win.
You say most of the second-tier candidates. Is there a second-tier candidate who you think does deserve that support?
Well, the most obvious one that comes to mind is Ron Paul. Ron Paul has been an outspoken conservative. He is quick to speak out when the Republicans are off the fiscally responsible reservation, abusing their power. And so Ron Paul has been the most principled conservative of any of the candidates that are announced or considering the race at this time.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Well, there you have it. Richard Viguerie first eviscerating the Republican field and disclaiming any conservative credentials for any of them, and wouldn't quite say endorsing Ron Paul, but that pretty much, to me, wavered on the edges of an endorsement. Now, this is not a small person politically. No, okay. I don't claim to understand the Republican, conservative, or the political universe in any detail. But as I understand it, Richard Viguerie has some clout. So his virtual endorsement of Ron Paul is somewhat significant. Somewhat significant. Now, I also want to say, you know what? I would say it maybe would have been less than a month ago that I would actually say to somebody, I am a conservative. I've been comfortable saying I'm a Ron Paul supporter for a while, but I've never considered myself a conservative. Why? Because my conception of conservative has been the media conception, the brainwashed version of it, that conservative equals war hawk, essentially. You know, conservative equals the national security state supporter. Okay, the person that is in favor of war whenever possible, essentially, even the person that is in favor of national security and the violation of our constitutional rights in pursuit of some perceived national security. This is a conservative, according to what Fox News and the traditional sort of old media would have you believe. And so, of course, I would never identify myself as a conservative because I simply don't believe in any of that, and nor will I ever. And I never have. You know, it took Ron Paul to come along and remind us what actual conservatism means, to conserve what? The Constitution, essentially. The founding principles upon which this country were based, which are solid, which represented a real true advancement in human governance. So to conserve that is to be conservative. Okay? Now, you know, they want to tell us it's a living document. You know, well, things have changed now, so, you know, the Constitution needs to change with it. And, well, yeah, I guess so, but there's also a method for doing that. The way to change the Constitution isn't to ignore it, pretend that it doesn't exist, and then just do whatever the heck seems to suit your own purposes. That's not the way to change the Constitution. The way to change the Constitution is to amend it. Amend it. The founders provided us with means for actually changing and adapting the Constitution to changing circumstances. Now, circumstances can change, but principles do not change. Principles, if something is a true principle, it is universal and it transcends time. So, yes, certain conditions have changed in this country. There are lots of things that are very different. We're not driving horses and buggies, and it doesn't take, you know, 6 months to go from one end of the country to the other anymore. And, you know, yes, we live in a smaller world, so to speak. Yes, there are all these technological issues that have changed the way we live life. But the principle of a constitutional republic is solid and unchangeable. Okay, the principle that there is the rule of law. That means there are rules about the way things get done. And those rules are not just set aside aside in order to achieve a certain purpose. I guess I should talk about the Constitution today. You know what? If there's ever a day, this is it. Happy Constitution Day, Stephen Vincent on the Constitution. So, in my view, where do I start? Okay, I've said this a number of times, and I think it condenses it for me. It helps me to really stay grounded in what it means to support the Constitution. If you do not have rules, you have rulers. Okay? That's the essential meaning of the rule of law. I mean, we have a president right now who literally can't even pronounce. Have you ever heard this guy try to say the phrase rule of law? He goes, rule of law. I mean, he can't even come out of his mouth in an intelligible way. Rule of law. He sounds like some kind of a Frenchman trying to say rule of law. Rule of law, you fool. Okay? Rule of law means that you can't just make it up as you go along. That there are rules that constrain you in your governance of this country. And you need to respect that. And when you do not respect that, when you violate those rules, you are breaking the law, which means you are governing unconstitutionally. You are not authorized to govern in the way that you are governing. You are not authorized to make imperial declarations from behind your desk, declaring that this shall be so. You are not King of America. We have a constitution. There are rules, and you are not our ruler. Nor shall Miss Clinton be our ruler. Nor shall this local county government that declares from behind their seats, oh, this shall be so because we say so. A local imperial edict of some kind. No, there are rules. There are ways that laws are made. They shall not be decreed into existence. Okay? No signing statements. No executive orders. When Ron Paul is elected, all those executive orders are going to be rescinded immediately, as they should be. Totally illegal. You cannot just simply tell people, I think things should be this way, therefore they are. That's just not how it works. Congress shall have the power to legislate. You cannot legislate from the executive branch. You cannot legislate from the bench. The Supreme Court does not have the power to create legislation via its rulings. Okay? This is what we're talking about. We do not have constitutional government in this country. They are simply declaring to us how things shall be in most circumstances. I remember, if you want to go back, to the seatbelt law. The seatbelt law. You know how we're all required now to wear our seatbelts or pay up a big $300 fine? I don't know what it is where you live. That's what they charge us over here in California. Okay? $300 if you don't wear your seatbelt. Okay? I remember back in the days when that, was it the 80s or something like that? I mean, that's my guess. I can't remember exactly. But everyone said, you know, it's a good idea to wear your seatbelt. Well, it is a good idea to wear your seatbelt. Oh, before I forget. 877-270, I'll get right back to that, 877-270-8714 is the number to call in if you want to participate and tell me what you think of the Constitution, because I'm going to go off right now. 877-270-8714 if you want to call into the show. The seatbelt law, okay, they said it's a good idea. Well, it is a good idea. I mean, it's tough to argue that wearing your seatbelt is a pretty good idea. I mean, you know, you get in an accident, you're less likely to die. Well, that's a pretty good idea, unless you want to die. All right? Here's the problem. Okay, now I remember people saying, well, maybe it is a good idea, but the government doesn't have a right to tell you to do it. Why should the government reach into the compartment of your car and force you to put on a seatbelt? And, you know, I think at the time I didn't really get it. I know at the time I didn't really get it. You know, I said, well, you know, it's a good idea. So, you know, yeah, people should wear their seatbelts, you know. And I didn't get it. I heard the constitutionalist argument. I heard people saying, you know what, at first, if they start with the seatbelt, it won't end there. It'll go into the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And they were right. They were right. They were absolutely, positively, one, I bet you Ron Paul was one of those people. Absolutely, positively, 1,000% right. I take it back to the seatbelt law, okay? They can reach into any facet of your life and tell you anything that's a good idea. They'll justify it by saying it's a good idea. Oh, what was that? The war on drugs. Well, we've got all these drugs coming into the country, and people are being killed in these drive-by shootings, and it's the drugs are ruining our cities. So what we need to do is put cameras in public places so that we can see the drug dealers. So they tell you, okay, well, that's a good idea to be able to see the drug dealers so we can bust them. Well, any intelligent person is going to, well, no, let me rephrase that. Anyone can be persuaded that that's a good idea to arrest drug dealers, and I guess, yeah, that's a good idea, you know what I mean? Especially if the drug is against the law, and we can get into whether or not drugs should be against the law, but anyway, okay, it's a good idea to not have drug dealers on your street. Sure. Well, it's not a good idea to have cameras in public places that spy on you every second of the day. What do we got now? Cameras every place you go. And they said, the constitutionalists said, if you let them do that now just to bust drug dealers, you're going to have cameras absolutely everywhere. It's going to be Big Brother. Oh, you guys, you're just lunatic fringe. You're crazy. Come on. It's just to bust the drug dealers. They were right. They were right. Okay? So you can't just start setting aside the Constitution and the rule of law, I can't even say it the way he says it, it's just so pathetic. The rule of law, you cannot just set it aside when it seems like a good idea. Okay? Because lots of things are good ideas. But you have to have, you know, a process. And you cannot just simply set aside the rule of law when it's for any good idea that comes along. Now, I'm personally against abortion for spiritual reasons. My spiritual reasons may not be the same spiritual reasons as another person's spiritual reasons. You know, I'm personally against abortion. I mean, I don't think abortion is a good idea. Okay? But I don't think I have the right to enforce my notion of a good idea is on you. Now, as much as I think abortion is horrible and is a sin against God and man and everything that's decent, okay, I do not feel like I have the right to impose that view on you. Okay, nor do I think someone who thinks that abortion is a good idea, that the right, quote-unquote, which is not a right to abortion, is a good idea, in that you should be forced to have the right, quote-unquote, to have an abortion when you want it. I don't think that should be imposed either. Certainly not from the federal government. Certainly not from a centralized location. Now, if on a local level, and all powers, and this is in the Constitution, all powers not expressly given to the United States federal government by this Constitution belong to the states or the people, okay, this would be one of them, because you don't see nothing in the Constitution about abortion. You don't see nothing in the Constitution about seatbelts. You don't see nothing in the Constitution about having cameras in public places. Okay? So if a local authority deems that these might be good ideas, then maybe they can pass a law about it. Okay? But there cannot be federal laws in any of these areas. It's not constitutional. And you can even argue that in the case of a seatbelt law, that is a restriction on your liberty. To literally bind you in a seat is a restriction on your liberty, which would be simply unconstitutional for any level of government. So these are the issues that we're facing right now as a country. You know, do we respect the rule of law, or are we just going to go ahead and do whatever we can be persuaded is convenient at the moment? So right now, it's convenient at the moment to be fanatical about security because we have the boogeyman of terrorism. The terrorists are going to get us, so whatever, we got to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, to hell with the Constitution. To hell with the rule of law. To hell with habeas corpus. You know what habeas corpus means? It means due process. That means they cannot just arbitrarily decide and designate that you are an enemy combatant, just simply declare it to be so, snatch you up from your home or off the street, put you in a jail, sequester you, torture you, put you on trial in a secret court, and never allow you to have a lawyer or contact with the outside world. That's what habeas corpus means, due process of law. Okay? And that is being taken away from us. That has now been declared by fiat, by declaration, by imperial decree, by our King George II, or III, I guess that would make him, that this shall be so, that we no longer have habeas corpus. You know, who's the only one who talks about this? Who's the only one who points out this obvious fact? And in the candidates, among the candidates, Ron Paul. All of the things I've been speaking about, Ron Paul. Only one. Only one. This is the only issue, folks. This is the only issue. You can talk about abortion, you can talk about, you know, any of these other things. The only issue is that we do not have constitutional government, we do not have a rule of law, we do not have rules, we have rulers. Okay? You are subjects of the king now. Okay? So are you going to take it? Or are you going to stand up like Ron Paul? Ron Paul stands up for us. Are you going to stand up for Ron Paul? What are you going to do? Are you going to sit behind your computer and listen to this show all the time? Or any other show? Are you going to sit behind your computer and clack on the keyboard and type into some text box, "Oh yeah, Ron Paul rocks. He's so cool." You know? Are you going to sit behind your TV set and yell at the TV set and say, "Oh, man, that Fox News, man, they just all this, they do that, they do blah, 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 blah." Is that what you're going to do? Because if that's what you're doing, I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Get off your butt and join a meetup group and get active. If you're in a meetup group and you're not doing it and you're not participating and you're not getting out there and spreading the freedom message, what the heck are you doing? Let's get it in gear, people. We don't have a lot of time. We just don't have a lot of time. The clock is ticking. We have about 4 months, something like that, to make this happen. Now, it is happening. It's very exciting. It's very exciting, but we're up against big odds. Okay? We can do this, but you gotta get it in gear, and you gotta get it in gear right now. Right now. RonPaul.meetup.com. Join a meetup. Get out there and do something. Save this country. Okay? It's not too late, but it's almost too late. Pretty darn close. If Ron Paul hadn't come around and woken us up and whacked that beehive with a stick so we got all and riled up, if he hadn't done that, it would be too late. It would be too late for constitutional republic in this country. We would have no longer, we would be under a complete tyranny. We have a chance. We have, it's possible. You know, it's possible we could take this country back. It's possible. I'm guaranteeing it. I'm just saying, we got a shot at it. You know? I mean, you know, we're the Rocky, and this tyranny is the Apollo Creed, okay? I mean, trying to find a sports analogy. I can't think of one. But we got a shot at it, folks. But you got to get off your keister. You got to get out from behind that keyboard. You got to put that remote control down. Okay, wait a minute. Before you get out from behind the keyboard, do this one thing for me. Go to RonPaul2008.com. I mean, right now, literally. I'm telling you. Do it. RonPaul2008.com. Okay, /donate. Click on the donate button. Fill out the damn form. and send the guy a damn contribution, excuse my French. I'm sorry. Send him something. Now, the end of the quarter is coming up. We need big numbers. We have to show them that we are for real. Make the contribution now. Right now, literally. Get the mouse, ronpaul2008.com, click the button, make the payment. Okay, as much as you can. Our future is at stake. No kidding. Not kidding. Some kind of a joke. Okay? Our future is at stake right now. Right now. Not tomorrow. Not after the election. Not after the first of the year. No. Yesterday. Okay? All right? Now. Contribute to the campaign. RonPaul.meetup.com. Join a group. Get active. Do something. Do something. Now, if you want to help me do something. There's lots of things I need help. I'm trying to do a heck of a lot with this show, okay? We've got the All-America Walk in support of Ron Paul's freedom message. We're working on that. We've got the Republican Women's Convention. I need help with that. I've got a brand new website that I'm busting out real soon. FactsOnFredThompson.com. FactsOnFredThompson.com. We're going to nail this phony Fred to the wall. I need your help with that. I need everything that you can. I need a webmaster for FactsOnFred.com. Who the hell out there is going to help me? Am I going to do it myself? I need a webmaster. FactsOnFredThompson.com. Let's nail this sucker to the wall. He's a phony. Council on Foreign Relations Socialist. What's his slogan? Slogan is something like unity, security, unity, prosperity. Security, unity, prosperity. That sounds like something out of socialist Germany, I'm sorry. The National Socialist Party. Okay? Written by the CFR. The socialists themselves. Okay? His statement contains three references to the greater good, sacrificing for the greater good. Is that what America is about? Sacrificing for the greater good? I thought it was about individual freedom. I thought it was about individual rights. I thought it was about respecting the rights of the individual. I thought it was about the individual shining as brightly as they could in a free society. I didn't think it was about sacrificing for the greater good, subjecting yourself to the power and the will of the state. Yet so-called conservative Fred Thompson apparently believes so. And that's who we've got as our conservative officially anointed conservative candidate. Are you disgusted? I am. Okay, are you going to help me? I need help. Okay? Ron Paul, freedommessage.com. That's the website, ronpaulfreedommessage.com. My email address is freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. So, let me see. Shortly, we should be going live to this values voter debate. And we're going to attempt to stream that. You just keep tuned in as you're tuned in right now, and we're going to attempt to stream that to you, and you should be able to hear it. And I'm going to try to stay on the line here and maybe add a little color commentary to this as it unfolds and see, you know, what I can bring to the debate, so to speak, and we're just going to experiment with that. This is all on the fly. We're just thinking it up as we go along. It's all spontaneous. So we're going to see. It should be starting in about less than a minute. So if we have the feed from the values voter debate, let's go ahead and see if we can get that going. And let's go ahead and switch over now to the debate. If it's already going, I have no idea where it is right now. If it's happening or where it's at. Do we have that buffering now? Okay, so we're going to see if that comes up and how this goes. It's a little bit of an experiment. Hang in there with us. going on there. And it's not scheduled for 15 seconds away from actually starting. So this promises to be a good forum for Ron Paul, because the people that are putting this on are, you know, somewhat of a conservative camp. And they're having questions from 40 different recognized
Broward Center for the
American leaders, including Phyllis Schlafly, the president of the Eagle Forum.
Presidential debate.
Here we go. So we may, you know, it's going to depend, I think, on how many people are listening to the, watching the stream, and how much buffering we get here. So this thing could drop in and out.
Delegate section. That was only for like the balcony mezzanine folks. And so if you're a delegate, sorry, you are the most important part of the debate, but we do need you to sit in your seat so that they can pick up the signals from your remote controls. Let's hear it for the delegates. God bless the delegates. Thank you so much.
So there is a straw poll going on at the same time.
Mike, help me out here, brother. Moderator, you got
And they're showing the podiums now. Nobody's yet come up to the podium, so I guess they're just kind of getting ready here. Oh, all the big three apparently did not show up for this. Apparently they didn't want to be confronted with the fact that their conservative credentials are non-existent. They didn't want to be confronted with the fact that Richard Viguerie was presenting.
Welcome to the first ever Values Voter Presidential Debate in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. My name is Joseph Farah. I'm from WorldNet Daily, the founder of WorldNet Daily, and I'm the moderator for tonight's program. I want to give a special thanks to Sky Angel and the VCY America Radio Network, along with American Family Radio and Reach FM, for airing tonight's program live. And thanks also to American Family Association for providing the live streaming for all those watching online. Maybe you're wondering, what is a values voter anyway? A values voter is someone who cares about the family, their own and their neighbor's families. A values voter cares about faith, righteousness in our nation, and preserving freedom for the next generation. This values voter debate tonight represents a spectrum of faith traditions and dozens of organizations and leaders who speak literally for millions of Americans, American voters. Tonight's debate pits most of the Republican contenders for the GOP nomination, but whether the candidates are here or not, they will be questioned. When you run for president, you can run, but you can't hide. So tonight, these GOP presidential candidates that chose to be elsewhere tonight will still face questions, or at least their empty
Absolutely.
Podiums.
They'll face the question about whether they're afraid.
By the way, all the Democratic presidential contenders were invited to a values voter debate next week, and interestingly, all of them declined. All of them found more important things to do.
Yes, all of the government liberal Democrats,
form your own judgments
about candidates,
that.
All declined.
Before we meet the candidates, two ground rules, please. Hold your applause until the end of introductions and debate segments. No flash photography, please. The order of the podiums in tonight's debate was chosen by random selection. Now I would like to introduce you to the 2008 presidential candidates
in
tonight's debate, at least the ones that care enough about the values that made America great to be here with us.
On the periphery.
The order of the podiums again was chosen by random selection. Join us now in welcoming former Governor Mike Huckabee.
It looks like Ron Paul's podium is pretty close to the center.
Thank you, and good luck.
It's directly behind the behind Joseph Farrow.
Representative Tom Tancredo.
So that's good for us.
Good luck, sir. Businessman John Cox. Good luck, John. Senator Sam Brownback. Good luck. Representative Ron Paul.
Significantly louder applause for Ron Paul than any of the other candidates. What a surprise.
Representative Duncan Hunter. Good luck, sir. Ambassador Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes was apparently in the Reagan administration and perhaps this is an attempt to take a little of the Reagan vote away from Ron Paul. Late entry into the campaign.
Joining us once again is the choir.
So Keyes is apparently running as a conservative as well. I don't expect him to have too much of an impact on the campaign. A little bit late to the party. Joseph Farah is... Okay, seems like we've got a problem with the audio. So we might be getting that back up. Might try refreshing the browser to see if we can get that audio back up or stopping and restarting it. Okay. It should come back up. The audio should come back up on my screen. I'm hearing them singing now. There we go. So Joseph Farah apparently runs WorldNet Daily, which is a somewhat of an internet news service which has conservative bent. Don't know too much about it. I know they do some good stuff and then some other stuff they're not so great. I think they're good on immigration and not good on the war. Don't know where they are on Ron Paul. Just don't have a good idea about that. If there's any callers, listeners who know more about Joseph Farah and the WorldNet Daily scene, they might want to call in tomorrow and help me out with that.
Told the children you are your own God now, so you can make the rules. Oh, say, can you see what that choice has cost us to?
So there was quite a number of conservative figures that are connected with this debate. And we'll be asking questions or submitting questions, including Judge Roy Moore. I know he's been involved in a number of constitutional issues. Paul Weyrich is another name that comes in familiar. Again, interesting that the top candidates just couldn't seem to be bothered or were afraid, frankly, afraid to be confronted with a conservative environment. Since they are big government liberals, they are the supporters of the warfare state and the welfare state simultaneously. Giuliani, Romney, Fred Thompson, socialist war hawks. The line between the Democrats and again, I mentioned that the Democrats would, none of the Democrats would have a debate with this group, would be part of a debate formed by this group. So who are the Democrats, really? I think it's the Giuliani, the McRomney, McCain, and Thompson. Big government, socialist, liberal. Two parties virtually eliminated. We've got, basically Hillary Clinton advocating a nuclear first strike against Iran with George Bush. First it's Bush, the next day it's Clinton, the day after. Both part of the same propaganda effort to take us into yet another war, unjustified, undeclared. Both in favor of big government spending, whether it's through the welfare state or the warfare state, either way. Folks, stay tuned for tomorrow. The Federal Reserve Bank, I didn't get around to this. Oops, big news. How did I miss this one? The Federal Reserve is going to lower interest rates, or is expected to do so tomorrow. If they lower by a half basis point, this could send the dollar into a huge plunge.
Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name,
so we may be on the cusp of a major financial crisis right now, literally right now at this moment,
and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and we'll hear their land.
God have mercy on America. Forgive her sin and heal our land. God have mercy on America. Forgive her sin and heal our land.
There was a run on a major British bank, a bank that was involved in the mortgage industry. A major mortgage bank went belly up. It was a literal run on the bank. People withdrawing billions of dollars from the bank overnight. That was yesterday.
Thank you, Church of God Choir from Springfield, Ohio.
Good placement for Ron Paul. He's directly in the center.
We'd like to open our debate with a prayer by Pastor Rick Scarborough, who is president of Vision America.
Would you stand with me for prayer? The psalmist writes in the 33rd chapter, "The Lord foils the plans of nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his own inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. And his dwelling place, he watches all who live upon the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance, despite all of its great strength. It cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Father, tonight, we do not put our hope in any man on this platform. We put our hope in You. Our prayer, Father, is that You might guide us in the process of selecting the leader You've already chosen. Lord, we simply want to get in on Your plans. We ask that You begin unveiling those plans to us tonight. I pray a blessing upon each of these men and watch care over their families. We are grateful for the sacrifice that they've made because they love America. We pray, Lord God, that You meet the needs they have spiritually, physically, mentally, and in every other capacity. And as the winnowing process takes place until one man is left standing, it is our prayer that we would be discerning and that we would uncover the man You have prepared for this hour. Father, thank You for this night, for what it means to this country. We offer ourselves tonight as living sacrifices, wholly and completely unto You. And all the people said, Amen. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, and thank you, Dr. Scarborough. I want to explain the format for tonight's debates. The debate consists of three rounds, which I'll explain as we get to each one. The candidates will have the opportunity to make brief opening and closing statements. And each candidate will also get an extra 2 minutes that they may use at any time. If a candidate wants to make his statement longer, use more time to answer a question, or challenge another candidate's statement, he can use one of these 2 minutes. As each of the minutes is used, a yellow light will be turned on by the candidate at his podium. Any minutes that are unused after the three rounds can be used to give a longer closing segment or statement. I'll remind the candidates that if any of you go 10 seconds over the time allotted on the screens for your answer, you risk losing one of those extra minutes. Now I'd like to introduce our panel of questioners for round one.
I like the way they set this up.
We have
fair.
Buddy Smith
seems
from the American organized. Family Association.
I think that this is
Janet
one of the better
Folger,
organized debates.
President,
this is
Face to Action.
So
Rabbi Arya Sparrow, President of the Jewish Action Alliance. Pastor Doug Souter of Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. And last but certainly not least, Phyllis Schlafly, President and Founder of Eagle Forum. The candidates will now make their opening statements. And gentlemen, you each have 1 minute unless you want to use one of your extra minutes. And we're going to start with the podium from the far right of the stage. That would be Ambassador Keyes.
Thank you very much. I didn't know all people there. Our country today. I feel gratified because even in the population that goes beyond the population of belief, it is now understood by many Americans that the greatest crisis we face is the crisis of our moral values and principles. Sadly, I think a lot of our political leaders don't seem to understand this. They don't seem to understand that a country that is based as we are on the truth, that our rights come from God, cannot hope to survive unless we revive our allegiance to the existence and authority of God. Every issue we face, every problem we face, can be traced back to our abandonment of this principle. I believe that the time is long past when we must hoist on high the banner of our Creator God and never let it fall again, though we die for it.
Representative Duncan Hunter.
He's giving a very religious
theme, obviously.
I'm
Duncan Hunter, and I'm running for President of the United States based on a platform of a strong national defense, enforceable borders. I built that border fence in San Diego and wrote the law that takes it across the Southwest, and bringing back high-paying manufacturing jobs that we've pushed offshore because of bad trade deals with communist China and the rest of the world. I believe very strongly that God still loves this nation, that we're still a people of faith and hope and character. And so I am running for the presidency of the United States. I want to lead this country and serve the American people, and I hope all of you will join me. Thank you.
Dr. Ron Paul.
The most important promise a president makes is his promise to obey the Constitution. And realizing this, we know that the Constitution was written in order to restrain the government, to restrain the federal government, but was meant to retain those rights and privileges and obligations to the states and to the people. Today, we have drifted a long way from that, and now we have jurisdictional fights over what we ought to do. A free country is designed for individuals to deal with the subject of virtue and excellence. Once we defer to the government to get involved in worrying about our own virtue and our excellence and perfect, fair economies, it is done at the sacrifice of liberty. If we do that and sacrifice that liberty and the job of virtue and excellence taken over by the government, you can only do that through tyranny. The only way we can solve our problems is expecting to do the things...
Okay. Ron ran out of time there, but that was an excellent...
You may finish your sentence.
Exposition.
Senator Sam Brownback.
I want to use an extra if I can. I want to start off talking about the basics. We're in football season. Vince Lombardi, the great Packer, legendary Packer coach, would start every football season with his team by holding up a football, and he would say, "Men, this is a football." I always thought that was kind of odd that he would do that, and then he would go from there to blocking and tackling. I think we as a country have got to get back to the basics, and I think that we've wandered away from them, and until we get back to the basics, we're not going to be able to grow and prosper. And to me, those basics are life, that every life is sacred, beautiful, unique, child of a loving God, family, that the best place to raise a child is between a mom and a dad bonded together for life, and faith. Faith is an important thing, and it's something that we've been running out of the public square when we should be inviting it into the public square. One of the people that I've held up as a key figure that I've looked at throughout life is Mother Teresa. The one time that I met her, I put her in her car as she was leaving Capitol Hill, and she said three words to me four times. She just said, "All for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. All for Jesus." And that frail little woman, with that powerful faith, took care of millions of people, inspired billions around the world with a simple philosophy. It happens to be a philosophy that, if you look at the motto of our land, is "In God We Trust." And I think we've got to get back to that basic. Rebuilding the family, renewing the culture, reviving the economy so that we can grow, prosper, and sustain ourselves in this long-term, generation-long battle we're in with militant Islamists. We've got to get back to the basics. Thank you very much.
A lot of the candidates seem to be pandering.
Thank
to the
you,
Christian
John
audience.
Cox.
I agree, Sam. And one of the basics is found in Matthew 6:24, which says that you can't serve God and money. And you know what? I think the same thing holds in politics. Right now, Washington is populated by people who are involved in politics to make money for themselves, to make it a career. I think that's why we have the corruption that we've seen. I think that's why we have the partisanship. I think that's why we have the failure of results. I'm an outsider. I'm a businessman. I'm the only one up here who's ever run a business and been a chief executive. That's what we need in this party. I'm a proud conservative Republican, but I'm ashamed and I'm disappointed at what the Republican leadership did with the majority that we worked so hard to build. I want to get this party back to its core. I want to get it back to its basics. And we need an outsider, someone who has run a business, who has gotten results in the private sector to do that. Thank you.
Representative Tom Tancredo.
You know, it has often been said that any great civilization is only going to be cannot be conquered from without until it actually destroys itself from within. I think most of us are here tonight because we share some sort of concern. We share the general feeling that there is a degradation of our own society, especially the morals of our society. We recognize that it is important for us, this is an important issue in order for us to survive in the clash of civilizations, by the way, with which I believe with all my heart we are engaged. A president has relatively few options available to him in order to direct the moral course of the nation, but can certainly be profoundly influential in it. George Washington was by himself, you know, a leader and set the soul of the nation, created the soul of the nation. Ronald Reagan constantly uplifting the nation. Bill Clinton redefined morality to the level of an alley cat. We know that this can happen. We know presidents have this kind of thing. I guarantee you that I will try my level best as long as I breathe to take us in a different direction.
Governor Mike Huckabee.
First of all, I want to say thanks to everyone for giving us this opportunity. I must say it's unlike any debate I've been a part of so far. I cannot imagine Chris Matthews opening in prayer and having a choir at some of the other debates we've had, and how refreshing this is to be a part of this tonight.
I
think all of us who
were
on the stage prayed during those debates. I'm not sure that the moderators were praying, but we better be praying for our country. We really better be praying for our country because it's in trouble, in part because we have a nation that is sharply divided, polarized, and in Congress it's so polarized it's become paralyzed. The things that we send people to government to do, they fail to do. And what we need is not horizontal leadership that just simply always fights everything left,
right. It's just simply
right,
not true. I mean, in what way are we so polarized? In what way are we paralyzed? Is the Congress paralyzed?
Makes us
completely united on the program that they're putting forward?
We go up, not down, and we take this nation where this nation must go.
All right, this is where it gets really interesting. Look at that panel over there. That panel is the panel that struck fear into the hearts of four Republican presidential candidates.
True, they couldn't face this.
This
music
is the reason that some are not with us tonight. We will now proceed to our first round of questions. Each question asked by our panel during this round will be open-ended, and of each of the candidates will be given 1 minute to respond. We'll be starting at the left side of the stage this time, and we'll alternate with each question to try to make it fair for everyone. Buddy Smith of the American Family Association, get us started.
Good evening, gentlemen. Marriage has been a socially protected union between a man and a woman for the physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual reproduction of children in every culture and nearly every time in history. States have a special interest, and human beings have a psychological, emotional, and spiritual interest in man-woman couples that stay together to rear children. If elected, will you support a federal marriage amendment? And what else will you do to protect the institution of marriage?
Governor Huckabee.
Well, I would try to do the same things that I did as governor of Arkansas, where I led a constitutional amendment that was passed overwhelmingly by our voters that affirmed what marriage is. Marriage is a relationship between one man, one woman for life. I also believe that we need to do other things. I declared a state of marital emergency in our state. Call pastors and other clergy together to commit to community marriage policies, to not engage in carrying on marriages unless they had counseled with the couple beforehand. We were one of the few states that passed a covenant marriage bill in Arkansas.
He's pandering to the Christian audience.
We also tried to pass tax policies that favored the family by eliminating things like the marriage penalty.
It doesn't matter what you think,
child
what your personal
credit,
beliefs are. You
so
don't have the right to impose that on the
result of their marriage
on the federal level.
I would support strongly
state,
and lead, not just support, but lead
local government,
an effort
local,
to have a
local,
constitutional amendment to affirm marriage as one man, one woman for
marriage.
Life.
I just want to remind delegates who are voting in our audience tonight have until the end of this segment to cast their votes. Representative Tom Tancredo.
Well, of course, the answer is yes. I would do everything possible to support an amendment that strictly defined what marriage is in this country, and that is between one man and one woman. And there are a lot of reasons why that has to happen. You know, the government actually doesn't have any real responsibility or any authority to tell somebody about who they should care about, but it has every single right in the world to establish what exactly a marriage is, because it is that foundation that upon which this system rests. In fact, any society. We are looking, that is the thing to which we look, that institution is the thing to which we look for the procreation of children, for the rearing of children in an environment that is healthy and good for the society at large. So yes, we have a right, and we have to remember that we are always just
no, you do not
one
have a right.
Kooky
that is not
judge
a right
away
given to you as
from actually
the
having homosexual marriage forced on all the rest
kind of
us
determination.
Because
you
of the reciprocity
right
clause in the United States Constitution. Therefore, we absolutely have to have a constitutional amendment that defines it in the way you've just described.
Okay, if you can get it passed.
John Cox.
I don't believe that the role
of... I'm very happily married, and my lovely wife is watching right now with my 2.5-year-old daughter. And yes, I've only been mistaken for the grandfather 5 times, so... But seriously, marriage is about protecting children. That's what it's all about. The effort by the homosexual lobby is all about trying to get the government to recognize a relationship that exists between them and have it validated and have it benefited by government largesse. What we need to do is certainly we need to talk about faith, but we need to talk about common sense. We need to talk about the ideals of protecting children, and that's so important to the future of our country because, let's face it, without children we don't have a country going forward. Talk to China. Their one-child policy is really going to lead to the destruction of that country. We need to have a marriage amendment, and you know what? That's a good exercise for this country, because as President of the United States, I will travel everywhere to argue that marriage is common sense, it protects children, and we ought to continue to justify it and honor it and keep it the institution it should be for the protection of children.
Senator Sam Brownback.
Buddy, as you probably know, that was the amendment I carried in the Judiciary Committee, was a constitutional amendment defining marriage as a union of a man and a woman. I got it through the subcommittee, I got it through the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. We lost it on the floor, and yes, I will lead it as president. And I wish President Bush would have led on it. That was something that I was disappointed in, because I thought if he had said after the last election, I've got political capital, I'm going to spend it, that if we had pivoted and said, and I'm going to push for a constitutional amendment on marriage, which was much more what the election about was about than Social Security, we might be there now. I don't know that we would, but you've got to do these sort of things, and you've got to take that leadership, and it gets to me back to the basics. We've got now in America 36% of our children born out of wedlock. In the inner cities, it's 70%. You're asking for difficult. You can raise a good child in a single-parent family, and we should celebrate when it happens. But the best place is between a mom and a dad, and the institution needs to be protected in the Constitution.
Dr. Ron Paul.
I think the best thing a president can do is set a good example, and I would start with having been married 50 years and proud of it. I believe also that... I do not see any need for another constitutional amendment. I think we have fallen into a trap that we have to redefine marriage. Or we're on the defense of defining marriage. Why don't you just tell them to look it up in the dictionary and find out what marriage says? For federal legal purposes, the Defense of Marriage Act is proper and takes care of all the problems. If you have to have rules and regulations, put it at the state level like the Constitution says. But, you know, marriage only came about, and getting licenses only came about in recent history for health reasons. It has nothing to do with it. True Christians, I believe that marriage is a church function. It's not a state function. I don't think you need a license to get married. We should define it.
Representative Duncan Hunter.
You know, I think, Ron, it's true that it's a state law that identifies marriage, but it accommodates the Judeo-Christian traditions of our country. And that's why it's so important that we have that law that accommodates those Judeo-Christian traditions, that maintains what is probably the most important institution in this country, which is a family. Most important institution that we have. And you know, I'm reminded of that story about the family that was off the coast of New Jersey and they were pushed out by a riptide. And the dad told his little daughter, I'm going to have to take the son in. I can't carry you both in. You can float on your back all day. I'll be out for you. And when the rescuers picked that little girl up hours later, she said to them, my daddy told me that I could float on my back all day. That confidence that marriage gives our children, that moms and dad gives our children, can't be duplicated by government. We need a constitutional amendment to maintain the marriage.
Ambassador Alan Keyes.
Well, first of all, I think it's quite evident that we need a constitutional amendment from what we see going on right now. The folks who have gotten themselves supposedly married as gay couples
again,
going into
Dr.
other
Paul
states demanding
the
that these marriages be recognized, using things like the full faith and credit
and
require that every
law.
State in the union.
As I was saying earlier in the show, it's
the
not about what's convenient for you. It's not about what's convenient for you to get done to match your beliefs. It's about what the rule of law allows. Either we have rules.
That you have
well, we
to
perform
don't. Such marriages, but that the law should be revised. He's single-handedly responsible for bringing them on. But the simple fact of the matter is, if we don't take action at the federal level, then our government will have defaulted in its respect for one of our most precious, unalienable rights, which
Here
is
we go, the
right
saying
to respect
that we
God's
injecting
God-given
federal power
institution
into
of the natural family. Abandon God
marriage.
With respect
no,
for the family, and we have no claim
our
to rights.
Lives.
Time for a question from our second panelist, Janet Folger of President Faith to Action, and really the inspiration behind this evening's debate.
Thank you. As you will see by the ultrasound video on the screen, science confirms the undeniable unique human being or person in the womb. In Roe v. Wade, author Harry Blackmun himself stated, if this suggestion of personhood is established, the appellant's case, of course, collapses. By the author's own words, Roe v. Wade has collapsed. If elected, what will you do to make our laws consistent with our science and restore legal protection and full rights of personhood to every American waiting to be born?
We'll start from the right side this time. My right, Ambassador Alan Keyes.
I think the first and most important thing that we would do is champion an amendment to the United States Constitution that makes it crystal clear that the right to life of all human beings from conception to natural death must be respected. It's simple, it's clear, it must be done. We also need to reiterate the truth that in the preamble to our Constitution, it makes it clear that the ultimate aim of our government is to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Posterity includes many we can't even imagine who have not yet been born. Surely it includes those who are sleeping in the womb. I would issue an executive order immediately granting the full protection of the presidency and every element of the executive branch to the life in the womb. And finally, I would make sure that no judges were appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States who did not strictly respect its mandate to secure the liberties of our posterity.
Representative Duncan Hunter.
Well, the first thing I do is pass the Hunter bill, which states that life does begin at conception. You know, the second thing is simply this, and I've said this in every speech that I've made in this run for the presidency. If a judicial candidate can look at a sonogram of an unborn child and not see a valuable human life, I will not appoint that judicial candidate to the federal bench. It's as simple as that.
Dr. Ron Paul.
As an OB doctor of 30 years and having delivered 4,000 babies, I can assure you that life begins at conception. I am legally responsible for the unborn from the no matter what I do. So there's a legal life there. The unborn has inheritance rights, and if there's an injury or a killing, there is legal entity. There's no doubt about it. I am surprised that I don't have more co-sponsor for the Sanctity of Life Act that I have, which would solve all this problem and would have eliminated a lot of abortions by now if we'd have passed it, and we wouldn't need any amendment. It removes the jurisdiction from the federal courts. If the states were allowed to pass this, immediately it would go into effect. Instead of waiting years and years and years for an amendment, this would happen immediately by a majority vote in the Congress and a president's signature. There's much easier ways to accomplish this by following what our Constitution directs us to do instead of looking for massive new laws. Let's just use what we have and pass this type of legislation.
Thank you. Follow the Constitution.
Senator Sam Brownback.
Janet, thanks for the forum and thanks for the question. I want to be the president to appoint the justice that is the final vote that we need to overturn Roe versus Wade and end this night of wrong. I have fought for this in the Judiciary Committee. I fought for Samuel Alito. I fought for Justice Roberts. And I think these are two new oaks that we've planted, and we need one more vote to overturn Roe. Roe is not in the Constitution. There is not in the Constitution a fundamental right to an abortion. And Roe and Doe, Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, are built on factual lies. I have had both of these women in to testify in front of my committee. Norma McCorvey, Sandra Aquino. I have had them in to testify, and they both stated in their affidavits that there are lies. And on these lies, 40 million have died. On a bunch of lies. It's time to end this night of wrong, and I'll fight for it as I have in the Senate.
John Cox.
This issue tears this country apart, and it shouldn't. I'm a Christian. Most of you, if not all of you, are Christians or Jews. We believe in the right to life. But we need to talk to the American people about responsibility. You know, in 1955, my mother already had a child, and she conceived me. And my real father walked out. If abortion had been legal in 1955, I wouldn't be standing here before you today. This is personal to me. But it's about responsibility. My mother took responsibility for me. And she's glad she did, and I'm glad she did, and my children are glad she did. And that's what we need to talk about on this issue with the American people. I, too, will make sure that I appoint judges who don't make the law, but will interpret it only. We fought a revolution 230 years ago against a dictator, a king, who tried to dictate to us what we were going to believe. We need to end the reign of the activist judges and restore some sanity to the right to life.
Representative Tom Tancredo.
Well, of course, I believe all of us would appoint judges who would do exactly what we said here and overturn Roe versus Wade. At least I guarantee you I would do that. That would be a litmus test. I know every time you hear the debates over the judges when they're in front of the Senate and everybody says, you know what, now there's no litmus test here, there's no litmus test. Well, I guarantee you there would be a litmus test for me, and that is, will you overturn Roe versus Wade? That's got to be there. Number two, it's the way you talk about the unborn. I tell you, as president, and everybody in my cabinet's going to talk about them as people, as individuals, because that's exactly what they are. Because God said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in the womb. He wasn't talking about a mass of cells. He was talking about a person, a human being. That's exactly the way we have to look at it. We have to understand in this nation that regardless of your political persuasion, all the political talk that goes around it, it goes back to this. God said, I knew you before you were in the womb.
Governor Mike Huckabee.
Well, it's obvious that all of us on this stage are pro-life. I think there's also a reason there are four empty podiums here tonight. There are some folks who wouldn't be real comfortable with that question. But the reason that I'm comfortable with it is because I'm not a person who became pro-life because I got into politics. I'm like a lot of you. I got into politics because I'm pro-life. And I believe that on this issue, our culture rises or falls, because it really says everything that we are as a civilization as to whether or not we value the intrinsic worth and value of every single individual human being. That's why we're looking for six coal miners in the womb of a coal mine in Huntington, Utah. And that's the same reason that we have a responsibility to protect the lives in the womb of the mother or the lives of those outside that womb from conception until natural conclusion of human life.
And before introducing Rabbi Spiro, I just want to commend everyone for your obedience to the rule of law.
I'm hearing a lot of pandering to this Christian crowd, you know, just telling them what they want to hear, saying the word God
Rabbi
a lot
Spiro.
Of times. The only one who's really saying anything
there
substantial
is no
about the issue and how to actually handle it in a way
their goal,
that will have an effect
the harming of America
is Paul,
and its
the Constitution.
Citizens. What would your strategy be to protect our streets, our people, and our American way of life from the designs of radical Islam?
And if I'm not mistaken, we'll start with Governor Huckabee this time.
This should be fun.
The threat we face is one that a lot of Americans don't fully comprehend or understand. This isn't a typical geopolitical war. It's a war against an enemy that has no national borders or boundaries. And it's not a war that we're fighting over a border or boundary. It's a theological war. It's not politically correct to say that. It's just the truth. We're fighting people whose religious fanaticism will not be satisfied until every last one of us is dead, until our culture, our society, is completely obliterated from the face of the earth. It is the perfect marriage of religion and state, and that's why it is so incredibly dangerous, more so than any enemy we face. And here's the reality. War is about will. Whoever chooses to leave loses. We can't afford to lose, because this is not a war about Iraq. It's not a war about Afghanistan. It's a war about our survival as a civilization and as a people, and every effort must be made to defend this great country against it.
Representative Tancredo.
Yes, I agree that this is nothing like we've ever faced before. We have called it a war on terror for way too long. It is not a war on terror. Terror is a tactic. It is not the thing with which we are at war. We are at war with radical Islam. I said earlier in my opening statement that it is a clash of civilizations. I believe that that is exactly where we are. And I believe it's been going on for a long time. And it will go on for a long time. The difference is now that enemy has the technological ability to bring it to our shores. And so one of the things that is absolutely necessary is the defense of our borders. What does that mean? It means nobody can come across those borders. We don't know. And for what purpose? And for how long? We have to know who they are. And I'll tell you something I also believe. And that is this. That it is... You know, the president always says they only have to be right once. We have to be right 100% of the time. Well, that's not good enough odds for me. You better think of a deterrent. You better think of something that's going to deter them from doing what they threaten every single day to do to us, or I guarantee you it will happen.
Fear-mongering and pandering.
John Cox.
I agree with Tom and Mike that we are facing the steepest test to our future as a country. But you know what? We faced these tests before, in the 40s, fighting Hitler, a megalomaniac who used religion to get people to follow him and who didn't hesitate to kill 6 million innocent Jews. We've got to fight this with every breath of our being. But you know what? We also have to make sure that we kill the bad guys, but we also talk about spreading prosperity around the world. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to talk about Iraq, but you know what? You got to replace evil with something else, with good. You know, there's a thin layer of Islam that is using oil. And let me tell you, Iraq is about oil. If Saddam didn't have oil, he would not have been a threat to the United States.
They're pandering to.
We've got
to
get that oil pumping. We've got to get the Iraqis prosperous. We've got to get them to believe in their government so we can get our troops home, so we can claim victory against these jihadists that would use religion to kill innocent people.
They're pandering to hate. pandering to people's needs for
Senator Brownback.
Rabbi, thanks for the question, because I think it's the central battle of our day, and I believe this is a fight we're going to be in for a generation. And I think we need to start talking very clearly and convincingly to the American public about it. That we're going to be confronting this battle as long as we did communism, probably.
Let's not fix the
reasons for the war. And this is a dedicated force, militant Islamists, as I noted in my opening statement,
that
means
to
wipe out Israel and come after us.
Do the same thing over and over and over again, endlessly.
And they put it forward in their documentation. I think this next president that's coming in has to come in with some foreign policy experience on how you do this, because we've got to work with certain countries, Islamic countries, and we've got to contain and confront others. Like, we have to contain and confront Iran. And I think we have to do that as well towards the Sudan. And we've got to work with others.
We are an empire, and we have the right to impose our nation's national values and way of life on
everybody else. The world is much flatter than it's ever been before, and this is the central fight, and I'm going to continue the fight as President Bush is.
Representative Paul.
We indeed do have a problem, but if we go at this incorrectly, we're going to do more damage to ourselves than we are to our enemies. We have to understand the motives who will come here and kill us. And if we don't understand that, we are not going to win this fight. They come here and kill us because we occupy their lands. And they rationally reason and come and say, we have to do something about it. If you're going to regulate Islamic thinking in this country, be careful, because all the rules you set will be used against Christians. So protect civil liberties. If you use the violation of civil liberties when it comes to habeas corpus and secrecy and all, we are going to suffer from this. If we could have done something before 9/11. We should have gotten the government out of the way on regulating our airlines. We should have had more respect for private property, the Constitution, and especially the Second Amendment, and we wouldn't have had to face the crisis on 9/11 nearly as bad. So indeed, it is a problem, but the answer can be found in the Constitution, I can guarantee you.
Representative Hunter.
You know, the last two nations that the United States saved before 9/11 were two Muslim nations. So, to my friend Ron Paul, don't blame America first. Now, here's what we've got to do.
He's being booed here. That's nice. All right.
We live in an era of terrorists with technology. That means we have to cut off every business that would sell killing technology to nations in the Middle East. It might move it to nations or to groups that might use it against us. We have to lock down the border. That means finishing my border fence, all 854 miles that I legislated that the president signed October 26th and has only built 17.9 miles. And lastly, ladies and gentlemen, we have to leave Iraq in victory.
Ambassador Keats?
I think the first thing we have to understand, and we often forget it, is that the effort against terrorism isn't isolated from the dedication that you and I all have to a fundamental principle, which is that it is ordained by the law and will of Almighty God that innocent human life must be respected. The first thing that we need to do in making sure that we have the firmness and the confidence to prosecute the war on terror is to make sure that we understand that as we fight against the killing of innocents abroad and in 9/11 in New York, we must fight against the killing of innocents in the womb. The principle is the same. The evil is the same. And we must stand the same against them. And in doing that, we must enlist the aid of every human being of conscience. Islam is no excuse for abandoning that which we have agreed upon throughout the world, that every nation must respect the claims of innocent human life.
So pretty much warmongering across the board.
All right, our next questioner is Pastor Doug Sauter of Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale.
Yes. Faith is a big part of the lives of all the people that are here, and we're interested to know, tell us about your personal faith and what it means to your life.
And we will start on this side with Ambassador Keats.
I believe deeply that God is the reason why we do what we do. I think our dedication to Him and to ingratitude for what He has done for us in sending our Lord Jesus Christ is the reason we do what we do. But I sometimes think that when we ask candidates this kind of a question, we are, in a way, missing what is the more difficult point. The crisis of our time does not occur and does not exist because some individuals in our politics did not have sufficient faith in God, did not follow His path, did not say their prayers. It occurs because they do not have the guts to stand up and remind the American people that we cannot and will not remain free if we do not acknowledge the authority of God, if we do not submit to His will. It is a national question that requires that we take the passion of our faith and with courage and without equivocation lay ourselves on the line for that truth, no matter what the cost.
We want to just take a few seconds between each speaker so that the delegates can vote. Representative Hunter, you're on.
Thank you. You know, I don't belong to any organized denomination. I'm a Baptist. And I invite you all to come to our church, which is headed by my neighbor, Reverend Bob Winterton, Trinity Baptist Church, population 64, on our best day. But I believe strongly in God and that He has a purpose for all of us. And you know, I believe strongly that He has a purpose for this country. And I'm reminded that in the Constitutional Convention, when we couldn't get together and we had massive fights and we couldn't put a Constitution together, old Ben Franklin got up and made what I call a sparrow speech. And he said, if it's true that a sparrow can't fall to earth without God's notice, then how can we raise a great nation without His support? And at that point, we started the tradition of a prayer before every constitutional assembly. And I think that God loves this country. He will guide us, and He wants one of us to be the leader of this country.
All right, our next speaker is Representative Ron Paul.
I get to my God through Christ. Christ to me is a man of peace. He is for peace. He's not for war. He doesn't justify preemptive declared war. I strongly believe that there is a Christian doctrine of just war, and I believe this nation has drifted from that. No matter what the rationales are, we have drifted from that, and it's very, very dangerous, and I see in many ways being unchristian. Christ is for love and forgiveness and turning the other cheek, for peace. And to justify what we do in the name of Christianity, I think, is very dangerous and not part of what Christianity is all about. Christ came here for spiritual reasons, not secular war and boundaries and geography. And yet we are now dedicating so much of our aggressive activity in the name of God. But God, He is the Prince of Peace. That is what I see from my God, and through Christ, I vote for peace.
Very beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Paul. That goes in my archive. That's Ron Paul.
Senator Sam Brownback.
I vote for peace, too. But I also vote for the protection of life. And I vote for the strength of America. And I vote for our place in the world. That this is a key country. And it's a country that's standing up to Islamic fascism. And it's a country that's standing up for the rights of individuals. And I think there is a just war that's going on in Iraq. And I think that that is definable. And I think that is something that we should stand for. Doug, I appreciate your question on personal faith. I was raised on a farm in eastern Kansas, and one day
so
I was 13
friends,
years old.
I understand we were supposed to have another show.
And, Lord grabbed me. I accepted Jesus
okay.
as my personal Savior then.
All right, so we're going to be
really,
able to stay
got
with us
me,
a little bit longer.
It drove into me the
until
humility
another show
of Christ.
Comes on. We're not sure when they're coming on.
On the way back to feed the pigs.
We're going
to
stay with you as long as you can.
But how much He loved me. 95, I had melanoma, and it really sunk my faith in, and it made me just live a boldness that I think all of us should live for our faith, for our Christ. Thank you.
John Cox.
Pastor, thanks for this question, because it's very important to me. I was not raised with religion, and that was a gift from God. I was reborn in Christ on October 31, 1979. A man ministered me on a train, a commuter train in Chicago, a member of the Christian Businessmen's Committee. And you know what? My faith has led me to do what I'm doing now, because I'm horrified at the lack of integrity that the career politicians have wrought on this country. We had four congressmen resign in disgrace last year, and they were Republicans. And that horrifies me and dismays me. That's why I decided to run for president. But you know, faith is nothing without works. My faith led me to be involved in civic and charitable activities. I started a charity on the north suburbs of Chicago called Christmas in April, which repairs the homes of the elderly and disabled. And you know what? That's the example that we've got to talk about, and that's what I'll do as President of the United States. I'll talk about the fact that faith has to be put forth in works to help others.
Representative Tancredo.
Question is, can you tell us a little bit about your faith in God? Well, I have to tell you that my pastor, I remember so distinctly one day talking about the fact that we know that we are all changed when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. He says, I know that that's true. We all know that's true. But once we've all done that, and we all have, let's say, in this church we were in at the time, I believe everybody here has. He said, but why is it that that's the case? We're all still such jerks. And he said, of course, the reason is because there are two sides to us, you know. There is a fallen side, and then there's the side that's been saved by Christ. And they are in conflict all of the time. That's what's fighting inside of us. He said, he talked about the fact that at one time he and his wife had to go on vacation. They left their two
friends,
dogs.
If for some reason we lose you and we have to cut to another show, then you can continue to watch this stream on dbsradio.com. dbsradio.com, right on the homepage.
They were hoping that it would
watch the debate.
They said
live
one
right
dog,
there. And if you want
Hansel, I believe it was. Hansel was
that way right now. You
look at the other dog was amazing. Because, of course, Hansel was the dominant dog. And they said,
that,
and he said, you know, it's like that with us. It's what you feed inside. It's the side you feed that grows. And you have to look constantly for the things, for the food, for Gretel. And so my life, every day, I try, and I fail many times. But I try the best I can to find the food for Gretel. Because everywhere around us, everything you see, so much of our life is food for Hansel. You've got to be able to divide that up and see what's feeding the good side. Because it's got to be dominant. One side will be dominant, and it's the side you feed. Let's find a way to feed Gretel every day.
Governor Huckabee.
First of all, Sam, let me give you a suggestion on your autobiography, From Hogs to Heaven. It might be a good title you could use. I think the question was, how does faith play a role in our personal lives? Well, for me, I was a timid kid at age 10 that went to vacation Bible school at a little Baptist church in Hope, Arkansas. And on that day, trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was life-changing. Sometimes people ask me, what's the greatest thing that ever happened to me? And they expect me to say, being elected governor, running for president. But the truth is, those are jobs that somebody else had before me. Somebody else is going to have after me. And those jobs have a limit. But the greatest thing that ever happened to me was coming to know Jesus Christ, because there is no limit, there are no terms set, and it's a position that I'll hold forever and forever. And it doesn't just influence my life, it shapes it, it defines it. And in simple terms, in public policy, it reminds me, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it gets real simple after that.
Does that include bombing them and invading them?
All right, Phyllis Schlafly, have at him.
At President Bush's press conference in Canada last month, Fox News asked him this question, quote, "Can you say that the Security and Prosperity Partnership is not a prelude to a North American Union similar to a European Union?" George Bush did not deny that goal. He just ridiculed the question. Will you assure us that you will abolish all plans to promote the economic integration of North America, which consists of open borders among the United States, Canada, and Mexico?
Thank you, Phyllis Schlafly.
We're going to start with Governor Huckabee.
First of all, Ms. Schlafly, I want to say thank you for writing a book called It's a Choice, Not an Echo. That book has had a dramatic influence on me, and it was one of the reasons that I became a Republican as a teenager, which wasn't easy in Hope, Arkansas, where there weren't any Republicans. But one of the things that I believe with all my heart is that this country can never, ever, ever yield its sovereignty to any other country for any reason, under any circumstance, ever. That's why I would agree that we not only need closed and secure borders, but more importantly, we need a re-understanding that we are a sovereign nation, and we do not yield ourselves over. We do not answer to international law. We answer to our Constitution and no other authority but our Constitution. And any attempt to weaken our commitment to our own constitutional form of government is simply unacceptable to me as a President of the United States.
We do need to just take a pause. You're doing so well that I actually have to slow you down because we do have this voting going on. Representative Tancredo.
Recently, Felipe Calderon, the president of Mexico, stated in his State of the Nation address that Mexico does not end at its borders. He said that where there is a Mexican, there is now Mexico. He is not the first president of Mexico to have said something like that. Before him, President Fox said something very similar. And before him, Mr. Zedillo. This is to hear something like this, to hear a president of another country suggest that the borders between you do not exist, and to not have our president turn to them and say, are you nuts? There is something called a border, and it must be defended. We are not simply just residents of the North American continent. That is exactly where this thing is going, this sort of an economic union. Well, everybody believes trade is such a good thing, and I certainly think trade can be good. But why do you have to go ahead and diminish your national sovereignty in the hopes of influencing trade? Never will it happen on my administration.
John Cox.
Mr. Schlafly, I'm proud of the fact that we're both from Illinois. It gives me great comfort at night, especially when I hear that Obama and Clinton are also from Illinois. I, too, will never surrender the sovereignty of the United States. We absolutely have to secure the borders. We have to address the illegal immigration problem. We have to do it by putting some CEOs in jail. We've got to start enforcing the law against employing illegal aliens. That's going to solve the problem. But we have to also make sure that we have trade with other countries. So I'm not interested in giving up our sovereignty, but I am interested in opening up channels of trade. Because you know what? We benefit when we sell Microsoft software, and we sell cell phones made by Motorola, another good Illinois company, around the world. And trade is also a weapon of peace. You know, you're not going to bomb your most important customer. You're not going to invade your most important supplier.
Completely.
So we've got to make sure that we increase trade around the world, but we also have to make sure we retain our national sovereignty.
You recognize that they're trying to form a North American Union, or you don't.
Thanks for the question, and thank you for your service. I've worked with you on many issues, and you're an amazing person on all the things you've gotten done. And I hope we all give her a round of applause of thank you for what she's done for years. I am opposed to open borders. I voted for a Duncan's fence, which I read in USA Today. They're building up 4 feet taller now in places to get it higher. I think we need to do that. I am opposed to a North American Union that gives up our sovereignty. I'm opposed to doing that. Like John, I am for free trade. I voted for the NAFTA agreement. I think there's questions about it, but I am for trade because I believe we should trade across borders, and that's one of the key things we can do to grow our economy.
Union, but I
also
for
think you've got to enforce your trade laws.
And
that's something we haven't done, particularly towards China. I think we're having a lot of problems of products coming in because we haven't enforced our trade laws. So yes to trade, no to unions, and yes to enforcing the laws when you have agreements between countries.
This is an easy one for me. Not only do I not want a North American Union, I want us out of the UN, the IMF, the World Bank, the WTO, NAFTA, and CAFTA. NAFTA has nothing to do for free trade. It's a pretense to lower tariffs, but it's a reason to go talk to the WTO to raise tariffs. We need free trade. That's very, very important. But you don't get that by world government. And those of you who are so high-minded about sovereignty, you wouldn't support this war because there's two reasons we've gone to war. One, to go after the weapons, which didn't exist. And the other was to enforce UN resolution. That's criminal. I believe that if we would follow the Constitution on trade and on war, if we would have only declared the war, we would have the debate before the war instead of afterwards, after we've lost 5,000 men in the military. We ought to follow the rules of the law and the Constitution.
Tremendous. The only one to say anything substantial on the issue.
Duncan Hunter.
I've got an idea for a real North American Union, and that would have been if Canada and Mexico, when America saddled up and sent our Marines and our soldiers into Iraq, into harm's way, if they had stood with us instead of running away from us, that would have been a real North American Union. Now, let me tell you, this isn't free trade. It's only free trade in one direction. China is moving massive amounts of goods into this country, displacing American jobs. They're cheating on trade by devaluing their currency by more than 40%, and that is sweeping American products off the shelf and taking American jobs away.
He's not answering
and
the question.
This mass of trucks.
The question was about the North American Union and security and prosperity partnership. Do you acknowledge that it exists, and would you allow it to go on in your administration?
And lastly, that American trucking family
the question.
Will okay, lose
folks,
their
I have
jobs
to leave you now.
With a massive
I apologize. I have to go to work.
Got to
go make some dollars. Okay,
the
fiat dollars are going to be worth a heck of a lot less tomorrow. And you're welcome to continue to listen to this stream. If you should lose the stream, go to bbsradio.com and you can see the debate live on the homepage, bbsradio.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you very much.
I believe that it represents not just the surrender of our borders, not just something that involves us in an understanding of trade that is not fair to our workers, not fair to our people. It is the betrayal of the sovereignty of the people of the United States. And by that, I don't just mean sovereignty along the borders and physical control. We have elites who no longer listen to us. We say that we want secure borders first, and they refuse to give them to us. We say that we want respect for the sovereignty of the people of the United States, and they refuse to give it to us. Time and time again, it has become clear that somewhere along the way, we have lost control of those who are supposed to represent the sovereignty of our people. Final point. We need to understand, you know, part of the reason we're losing our own sovereignty? Because we have turned our backs on the sovereignty of Almighty God.
All right, we actually have one more panelist who is not physically with us this evening, but I'm sure he's here spiritually as well as digitally, and that is Paul Weyrich of the Free Congress Foundation. Let's listen to his question.
My name is Paul Weyrich. I'm chairman and CEO of the Free Congress Foundation. My question is for all the candidates. What do you intend to do to counteract the homosexual agenda?
Ambassador Keyes, take a stab at that.
I think that first and foremost, we have to make sure that we defend the natural family, that we pass the amendment that will be required in order to make sure that the strategy of the gay lobby doesn't result in the destruction of traditional marriage. Second, we have to restore the understanding of what marriage is. I heard tonight a shocking statement that somehow the state can withdraw its respect for and support for the natural family as ordained by God. I'd like to remind you that the family preceded the government. Before we had a government, we had a God-ordained family that supported and represented the natural rights of our humanity. And the government is obliged to respect those natural rights, not to destroy them.
So I think that it will be important to restore that understanding which supports our reasonable belief that the family ordained by God and tied in its mission to procreation that represents our bond to our posterity must be respected under law and understood by the American people in terms of that respect.
Representative Hunter.
Well, I think I like Alan's idea that the most important thing we can do is to support that bedrock of this country, and that is the American family, the traditional family. So certainly we've all said that we would very strongly support a constitutional amendment for one man and one woman. I think beyond that, we have important institutions in this country that we must support and fortify and continue to support and fortify. One of them is the military. And we had a major fight a couple of years ago to allow practicing homosexuals into the military. I led the opposition to that attempt, and I think it's only because we have been able to resist that particular attempt that we have the very best military in the world today. I think also institutions like the Boy Scouts should be maintained, and every American family should have the right to say it's a matter of moral principle that we do not accept homosexual activity.
Dr. Paul.
All rights are individuals. We do not get our rights because we belong to a group. Whether it's homosexual, women, minorities, it leads us astray. So it's much more important to understand that all individuals have the right to their life. If they do no harm, you don't try to do a whole lot about it. If you want to change people, you change it through persuasion, through family values and church values, but you can't do it through legislation because force doesn't work. But there should be, though there's no, you don't get your rights belong to your group, a group can't force themselves on anybody else. So there should be no affirmative action for any group. So if a homosexual group wants to enforce their way on us, there's no right to do that either. But at the same time, you should eradicate all these hate laws. These hate laws indicate that there's something subjective in hate laws that indicate that some people would receive a different penalty on others. This violates the principle of the importance of the individual and confuses us about the importance of individual rights, which is the purpose of the Constitution, defend our individual rights.
Senator Brownback.
I liked Duncan Hunter's statement, and I want to associate myself with that, and I fight for those same sort of issues in the Senate. I want to point something out that's a difference between the parties. General Peter Pace, recent chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, stood up for the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the United States when criticized for that, and he just said, you know, it's the policy. It's something I think that's very clear. It was part of his faith, and he believed that this was the right thing to stand up for. Every Democrat presidential candidate condemned him for saying that, and I stood up for General Pace, because we should stand up for other people when they will stand up for these basics. It's saying that don't ask, don't tell is a good policy, and it's saying that this is the right thing for us to do in the military. And also on the hate crimes legislation, this is something we've got to fight against, that somehow that the thought is what the crime is, and that that being moved into an agenda not allowing people to speak their beliefs about homosexuality.
John Cox.
I agree with Sam. I agree with Duncan and Alan. Let me add a few notes of common sense to this whole thing. You know, this is a free country, and we have to respect people's freedom to do what they want to do. But you know what? We don't have to sanction it, and we don't have to sanction behavior, and we don't have to support it financially. And we don't need to put more rights that will create more litigation in this country. The last thing we need in this country is more litigation from rights. We also have this problem with transvestites who want to be school teachers. Well, I got to tell you, what the Republican Party needs to stand for is school choice and homeschooling so that we can keep our children in the schools of our choice. And we won't have to deal with that. I don't know that we help ourselves when we try to moralize to a large part of the country that is not a believer like us. And I think we need to use common sense. We certainly need to stand up for the proper behavior. We absolutely need to do that. But we need to use common sense and talk about the fact that we can't open the floodgates to polygamy and bestiality and all kinds of other things. Kids, hold your ears.
Representative Ben Credo.
I believe that we have all explained what it is that a president can do under these circumstances, what they can do about this particular issue. And again, it's constrained, and it is constrained by the Constitution, and appropriately so. I certainly agree with that. There aren't, I mean, you cannot, an individual, the President of the United States, simply can't make a rule, sign an executive order changing the morality of the country. It can't happen that way. You do so by leadership, as I said before. Also, I agree with John on this issue in particular in terms of schooling. You know, when you look at the agenda that we're talking about here, where does it manifest itself? It is in the curriculum in the schools throughout this country. There is a very strong movement to influence the curriculum in the schools to obtain some sort of moral neutrality on all issues, including homosexuality. Well, how can you stop that? I'll tell you how. I believe completely in the idea of school choice. I actually introduced a voucher system when I was in Colorado in 1992. It is up to the parent. It is up to them to control that school environment. That's where it begins.
Governor Huckabee.
Well, I'm convinced that the reason that the homosexual movement has become strong is because the traditional family has become weak. When over half the marriages in this country end in divorce, it's hard for a lot of kids to grow up seeing the kind of role models that kids need in order to become the replacements for those of us who are parents now. The basic purpose of a parent is to train his replacement. Where are kids going to learn what a family looks like, what a marriage looks like, if most of the marriages in this country end in divorce? I want us to be very careful that we don't come across as having some type of animosity or hatred toward people, even whose lifestyles are inexplicable to us. But by the same token, as a Christian, we're obligated to stand for that institution that is the only institution from which there really is the definition of family, and that's mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, people related by blood, marriage, or adoption.
Well, that concludes round one this evening, and let's give all of the candidates a round of applause. There will not be any breaks, however. We are moving right into the second round, and this will be a series of yes or no questions, some from the panel, some from other distinguished leaders who will be joining me here at the podium. And after each question is asked, the candidates will turn on one of two lights on their podiums. If their answer is yes, they will turn on a green light. If their answer is no, they will turn on a red light. And just so everyone knows and is clear, you can't turn on both. That is not a valid option. We want this to be a speed round, so I ask the audience to hold applause until the end. And gentlemen, don't forget to turn off your lights after each question, and so we can use them once again. All right, let's start with the panel.
Thank you, Joseph. Recently, a federal judge ordered the Indiana legislature to censor their prayers. Specifically, the federal judge ordered the Indiana legislature to never allow anyone to offer an invocation prayer in Jesus' name. Will you, as president, consider impeachment a possible remedy for this judicial activism?
Thank you, Buddy Smith. All right, next question from Janet Folger.
The Mexico City federal funds, they will neither, quote, perform nor actively promote abortion. Would you work to apply this Mexico City policy to organizations within the United States as well as abroad?
Could you repeat that question?
Sure. Mexico City policy states there's a condition for foreign organizations to receive federal funds that they'll neither perform or actively promote abortion. Would you work to apply this Mexico City policy to organizations within the United States as well as abroad?
I just want to clarify, and I'm not trying to be difficult, but I want to make sure we're not being asked to apply a Mexican principle or a Mexican law to United States law. Is it the principle you're after or the law itself?
It's the principle of not giving our tax dollars to organizations within our country that actively promote or provide abortions.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we were not, in essence, agreeing to abide by Mexican law.
No, it's
okay.
American law.
Right. All right.
This is Mexico City policy that Ronald Reagan put in place that we wouldn't use federal funds to support abortion or organizations that promote abortions overseas.
It's actually the UN policy.
Well, actually, it was a policy at the Mexico City Population Conference. I was the deputy chairman of the delegation. I actually negotiated the language into the final resolution
at that conference. Joseph, may I clarify?
Well, it's interesting that there's so much disagreement and you all voted the same way. So.
I want to know, will they defund Planned Parenthood? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Rabbi
Spiro.
Is that a no?
Would I fund Planned Parenthood?
Will you defund Planned Parenthood?
Oh, defund it, yes.
There we go.
I thought you said, would I fund it? And that would be a no. So.
Okay, excellent.
Let's get it right.
Excellent.
Is that a question? Is that one of the questions?
Okay, clear those lights, and Rabbi Spiro, you're up.
Do you agree that the excessive and overbearing use by liberals of multiculturalism is weakening the unique American culture that has historically shaped the identity of America and will lead to a harmful balkanization and unnecessary divisions among the citizenry?
The questions get tougher, right?
Yeah, boy, no, these really could not have said it better.
Will you oppose all plans for amnesty, path to citizenship, guest workers, and seasonal passes until the very high unemployment rate of our own minority youth and college and high school students seeking summer jobs has dropped to 5%.
Can we oppose amnesty in any circumstance?
Yeah. Yeah.
These are stupid.
Can I use one of my minutes to explain on this?
If you have one, you may.
I've got one left.
Okay.
Phyllis, I agree on opposing amnesty. On the guest worker provision,